And good morning and welcome to the La Porte Church of Christ. It is January 5th, 2025. And I say Happy New Year's to you out there. And thank you for being here. You know, it's hard to believe how fast 2024 went by, and, you know, excited about 2025. And I hope that you are too. And I hope that in this upcoming year that you find yourself, you know, it's just a day on a calendar. I recognize that, but I've been encouraging people to make those resolutions. As somebody asked me the other day, you know, if I was going to make a New Year's resolution, I said, I'm not going to make one. I'm going to make a lot of them and try to keep them. And one of the things that I'm trying to do and been trying to push people that that I talk to is to be a little bit better every day. You know, my job, I got wear a lot of hats, so to speak, and you know, I'm not the best speaker, but feel privileged and humbled to be standing before you. And thankful to be here. Unworthy, absolutely, except for the blood of Jesus Christ, that is. But, you know, very thankful that, you know, I can stand before you, and my job is basically standing in the gap. Standing in the gap, just trying to do what I can do. And, you know, do appreciate your prayers out there. I know that this church and this ministry would not be going if it was not for the prayers of the saints, and I do appreciate that for all of us here. We got a lot of work that's before us, keeping a radio ministry going and getting newsletters out. There's just a lot of different things that that we are doing, a lot of stuff behind the scenes, prayer meetings, praying over the sick, and just trying to get truth out, trying to continue to get Pastor Peter's messages, these timeless pulpit messages, and, you know, standing in the gap is basically what we're doing here. And appreciate Zach. He's really stepped up to the plate and helped out a lot. Do appreciate people when they if they would keep Brother Zach in his prayers also. He's a good man. He's got a heart for God, and very privileged to be able to call him a friend of mine. And going to start off with a word of prayer, but wanted to start off, you know, this ministry has taken very seriously the prison ministry, and we were able to revamp that in 2024 and got a lot of plans for that in 2025. Want to start off with a scripture that's found in Hebrews 13, and I'm going to read starting in verse 3. It says, "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body." And that's a commandment. We've taken that seriously. We were able to absorb Jack Moore's prison ministry years ago, do appreciate those that keep the prisoners in your prayers. Also, got some news, but before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer, and then I want to have a song, and then a couple of announcements. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for all that you give us. We ask that you just continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, that you continue to open up the doors that need to be opened in 2025, that you close the doors that need to be closed. We pray, Father, that you give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We pray, Father, that you give us power and authority over all the forces that are coming against us. We ask, Father, for blessings from your throne, and we ask that you give them to us. We ask, Father, that you just give us more wisdom than we had last year, that you assist us, and that you help us to be a little bit better every day. Lord, I pray, Father, that for myself, that, you know, I can be a better husband, a better father, a better Christian, a better patriot, a better man of God. I pray, Father, that I'm teachable. I pray, Father, that I can, that you just continue to use my hands and help me to do a good work for the work that is before me. I want to do a good job, Lord, and I just ask for your help. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. We're going to have a song. This is, I can't remember the name of it. It's the Ode to Gordon Call, and got an announcement after that. But we'll have that song coming up right about now.
Gordon Call was right when he made his famous stand. Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS, and for his disobedience
utensil, flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. Five forty-five p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man, who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though tensile flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdict's handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free, through faith we shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love, in love and war, in love and war.
And that was a good song by Carl Klang, The Ode to Gordon Call. And yesterday was on the phone with the lady that called and had Yori on the other line of the phone, and was calling from that federal prison. And it was quite some time back that I was talking with a brother, Will, from down in Texas, and we just had this, you know, feeling that the Lord was going to open up the dates, that he was going to be set free. And, you know, sometimes God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and that happens quite often. And was on the phone with a sister and asked if I'd share it. Basically, he's been very ill. The last letter that I got from him, he was in a walker. It was hard for him to write, and not doing real good. Had been through several surgeries, did ask for prayer, and we've been praying for him. He's had prostate cancer for quite some time now. They went in and checked on the prostate cancer, and they diagnosed it with stage 3 prostate cancer. And he also had stage 3 kidney cancer, which they just found. So it just sounded like that not doing very well at all. You know, it was one of those things that it's sad and you know, humbling. He'd been locked up for most of his life for something that he didn't do. And you know, reading that scripture that we read in Hebrews 13, you know, just, you know, the other scripture that I wanted to read was found in Matthew 5, and we'll get to that. But wanted to pray for Yori, did ask that we would pray for him, and, you know, was not specific on how exactly to pray. I know yesterday when I was talking with him, basically, and talking to a couple other men that that he had asked that I contact and pray for him, it was, you know, basically the Lord's will be done. And but I know how, you know, when somebody's sick and when they're not feeling good, how you know, sometimes you just want to check out and you want, you know, you don't want to live. And somebody can be infirm to that point when their body is toxic. And I know that if I was in that position, that I would want somebody to pray and that, you know, praying for a miracle, praying that I'd be healed and that the doors would be opened up and then I could walk out of prison. And yeah, just was thinking about the prayer filter and how we have this as a tool and a weapon to make those necessary corrections to our prayers. We don't want to be fighting God on these things or even somebody else's will that, you know, when somebody else's life is dependent on it. So I want to go ahead and read the prayer filter, and we'll bring it up on the screen. And if anybody'd like this, we'd like to send it to you. We have this on a bookmark, and I think it's a very powerful tool. It says, Heavenly Father, I acknowledge and fully believe that as a son of God, I have great power and authority in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, and Luke 10, 19, including the power to bless and to curse. Your word teaches me, I dare not bless those who hate you, 2 Chronicles 19, 2, and that those who hate you often disguise their hate, Proverbs 26, 24 through 26. We know from your word that blessings can be obtained through disguise and deception, Genesis 27, 12. So through you and your Holy Spirit, I filter my prayers, for I do not always know how to pray and thus need your help, Romans 8, 26. For I don't always discern the wolves in sheep's clothing, or the false brethren, or the tares from the wheat, Matthew 7, 15 and 13, 38, Acts 5, verse 4 and 2, and 2 Corinthians 11, 26. For your word teaches me you can change curses into blessings, Nehemiah 13, 2, and then reason tells me that you can also change blessings into curses. So this day I filter my prayers, calling for you to take any and all necessary changes to them, so that I might never give what is holy to the dogs, Matthew 7, 6, and might never curse the righteous. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and activate this prayer filter. And I want to pray and just pray that the Lord, that the perfect prayer is brought before the throne of God. I pray that the Lord makes any and all necessary corrections to our prayers and that they are perfect. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and we do pray this and we ask that you just make all the necessary corrections to our prayers that they may be perfect as they're brought before your throne. And Lord, I just come before you and I ask, Father, for those that are joining us to gather with us in prayer, and we lift up your call. We lift him up, Father, for this cancer, and we pray the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon him, if it be your will. Lord, we want him completely and totally free to this cancer. We want him to be cancer-free. We want him to be walker-free. We want him to be completely restored to perfect and good health. Oh, Lord, we desire this, and we desire, Father, for you to open those doors, those doors, those gates of that prison, and Father, for you allow him to walk out and to see your glory. For Father, we pray for righteousness and we pray for justice. We pray, Father, for that to be in our land once again. Lord, I ask, Father, that if it be your will, that you see to it that this does happen. It's going to take a miracle, but Lord, we're asking for miracles. We pray these things in the name above all name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And looking at the clock, we got to move on. We're going to do things a little bit different today. Brother Zach did not have a message today and put together. There's a video. I forgot to tell Richard about it, but I do have a video that we're not going to go to it right now, but we will eventually. You know, we just experienced this terror attack in New Orleans and then also in Las Vegas. And, you know, a lot of things just don't make sense about it. But you know, one thing that is just been on my mind is as people are talking about reprieve and how there's just things are going to be better now and this and that, you know, heard about it all over the place. You see it in the news. You hear about it on the radio, talking with people. And, you know, I just keep thinking that and it just keeps coming to my mind, you know, just get ready because, you know, we're headed into difficult times. We're headed into times where we're going to see more events like this take place. And yesterday we started off coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers with a scripture. And It's found in Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And that's the people that we need to be. I mean, we can see these things that are happening around us, and I'm not saying that anything's going to happen to the righteous or for those that love God or for those that are called according to his purpose. We need to make sure that that's when we continue to walk and abide in Christ so that we are set apart. We are the remnant. And it was encouraging to me just, you know, with watching and contacting people out there in that had suffered damage or were the damage area, the damage zone, so to speak, of this Hurricane Helene. We contacted our people out there, and they knew of people, and there was people around them that had a lot of damage, lot of water damage, a lot of flood damage, lost buildings, lost houses. But every one of our people that we contacted that are on this ministry were safe and sound. And the worst that we heard was a couple of them went without power for a couple hours. And that was the blessing. And I believe that that's what the scripture is talking about. And, thankful and grateful. As we see these things, and as I see things coming down the pipe, it's not for the remnant. I know Brother Paul, he doesn't even like to talk about some of this stuff because, you know, he thinks that it's just, you know, spreading fear. And for those that are of us that are in Christ, it shouldn't be fear. But we need to be aware. It's been really on my heart. Be aware, be prepared. And for the things that we see happening, we'll go ahead and bring up headline that I just seen this one this morning. It was FBI sends nationwide warning to remain vigilant in possible copycat inspired by Bourbon Street attacks. And just going to read a little bit of this. The Federal Bureau of Investigations and the Department of Homeland Security are warning thousands of police agencies nationwide about possible copycats in the wake of the Bourbon Street attacks in New Orleans. A six-page bulletin has been sent out Thursday and obtained by the ABC 13 urges all government and law enforcement officials to remain vigilant of potential copycat or other attacks inspired by this attack. And it was started looking for this morning. I watched about a 10-minute video on Sean Ryan program yesterday, and it was talking about how there's thousands and thousands of ISIS members in the United States that have basically agreed or I don't know how you say it, basically vowed to take matters into their own hands. If the government's saying that we got thousands of them here, you know, who knows how many that we've got here? I mean, look at how they fudge the numbers about the illegal immigration that's taken place. And it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I really believe that we need to be aware about these things and these things that are taking place, but I don't think that we need to fear them. I think we need to be ready to react to a situation when something arises. And, you know, that comes by abiding in Christ. That's first and foremost, trusting in him. But at the same time, I think that it's the time that we need to be armed as a people. We need to have a firearm. We need to know how to use it. We need to be prepared to use it. We need to be ready to use it. And a lot of that stuff only happens, it happens first as a mental state of mind. You need to prepare yourself for that. You need to be preparing yourself that this is warfare. And, you know, they're making attacks. We're talking about ISIS attacks in the United States. This is a terrorist organization attacking us. This isn't like anything like what 9/11 was. This is completely different, and their rules of engagement have changed. There's good news, I don't want to even say that there's bad news because, you know, there's good news and there's good news for the remnant. Another one that a brother sent me was that I wanted to talk about was that I thought was encouraging. And we'll go ahead and have that other slide. It's young single men are leaving traditional churches they found they found for a more masculine alternative. And this article talks about how basically there's people that are just getting fed up with the churches because they've been so effeminized, and they're tired of it. And people are, you know, waking up and saying, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And we'll just, go ahead, go back. Young single men are flocking to the Orthodox churches after discovering the masculine Christian religion through online influencers. Some converts said that they felt disillusioned with the feminization of the Protestant church and were attracted to authenticity of Orthodox, which they claim pushes them physically and mentally. And that's what I've noticed. It's like the men, the Christian men that I talk to, they're fighters, they're go-getters, they're warriors, and they've got people that they've learned a lot from. Now, Sean Ryan was one that I do enjoy listening to a lot of his podcasts. When I started listening to him, he was basically an atheist. And over the times, he's a Jesus Christ confessing Christian now, completely changed his life over the last several years. But he does a lot to, push people to be better people, and tries to get information out there and interviews a lot of good people. A lot of people that I know listen to Jocko and this and that. And, I know that there's people that are out there that say, well, he doesn't believe this or he doesn't believe that. No, but he's got that masculinity and he's bringing it back, and he's pushing and challenging men. He's trying to change boys into men. He's trying to make people harder, make people stronger. And that's what we talked about yesterday on coffee was, people want, they want things to go smooth and easy. And then smooth and easy isn't what makes you strong. It's the ups and downs. It's the trials. It's the challenges. It's the getting broke down. It's the saltiness. That's what makes us stronger. And, I've been talking about it quite a bit lately, and, everybody wants to be that overcomer. And I think Pastor Peters said it perfectly. You want to be an overcomer, and one of the first things that you have to be an overcomer is to have something in your life to overcome. And so when we see these trials and these tribulations in our life, it's God working. Dear sister told me years ago, the millstones of God grind slow, but they grind fine. And that's something that stuck with me for a long time. And, when we see God working in our life, we just need to continue to remain faithful and strong and persevere. Don't give up. And I don't want to see anybody out there giving up. And when you see somebody in Christ, a member of the body that is struggling, pray for them. I was privileged this last week to talk to a dear sister, Jamie, in Oklahoma, and God just put it on my heart that I needed to call her, and I called her and talked to her, and she just shared a lot of things with me, but I could tell it was good. She needed to talk, and I needed to listen, and talked about things that had gone on in her life, and it was just confirmation that the Holy Spirit was working and that I needed to be praying for. And, praise the Lord for that, to give him all the praise and all the glory for that. But, when somebody comes to your mind, please take the time and pray for them. And I don't mean just to continue to ramble and ramble and ramble on, but I had several people that asked me if one of these Sundays when it worked out, if we could have a couple more songs. And I found this and wanted to share this with you. We're going to have a couple songs, but Pastor Peters is going to be leading these songs this morning. And we'll go ahead and have that, Richard.
Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful. We are grateful for the promise that where two or three are gathered together, there our King is as well. And Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that through your providence, you have made it possible for the remnant to gather with us through satellite, and internet, radio, and shortwave, and even the DVD and CD church ministry. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know you still have yours that have not bowed. May this message today be a meaty message, sirloin steak type of outfit of a sermon for the mature who have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And may it be one that strengthens them in the inner man, encourages them, and causes them to look with great anticipation for the deliverance that you have planned, that salvation yet to be revealed. Oh, Heavenly Father, need a little help from you. The world gets these people all week long, and the demands of the world come upon them. They've got their brick quotas to make. So I need the help of the Holy Spirit, called the Helper, to help drive home this message in the next hour and a half that we're together, and to make it a blessing to the saints. So we call for that Holy Spirit. We want more of it ourselves. Heavenly Fathers, we sing the songs today. We hope that we sing in such a way that it's from our heart that the angels of heaven would join us, tap their little toes with us in time. And Lord, it's time we sing with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength with love, because you deserve to be praised. And I thank you, you've given me an opportunity to be sort of a circuit-riding preacher, and that you still have those out there that want to hear the truth. Raw, straight, and straightforward. And so may it be given today through the working of your Holy Spirit to that end. We pray it. And Lord, I just sense that we ought to all pray together right about now. Will you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Lord, I want to put a P.S. on this prayer. I come now with the authority that is mine in Jesus Christ, and those that join me, we come together claiming your truth that we can bind, that we stand together now, and we bind the forces of hell that would dare to try to come against this preacher, against this ministry, against this church, against this sermon, this very day. We bind it. And we loose now the moving of the Holy Spirit to bring blessings to yours that are out there in Jesus' name. Amen. You want a blessing in your life? Sing with us the song that we bring up right about now. Bring her on. Blessings by the Number. Ah-ha!
whole heart I waited for your knock on the door. I waited and you haven't lost your way. Now I've got blessings by the numbers, treasures by the score. Every day you're blessing me, each day I love you more. Yes, I've got blessings by the number, a love that makes me win. And the day that I stop counting, that's the day my world will end. Now I've got blessings by the number, treasures by the score. Every day
songs you almost want to say, aha! At least I do. And you do have a lot of blessings. You might start numbering them now because we might be losing a few of them along the way, but we'll get through this. I was just taking a hot shower this morning. I thought, you know, Lord, I think it's about time I start thanking you for these hot showers because we might not have them in the future, but we'll make it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're listening to, if you just tuned in on the radio somewhere, the LaPorte Church of Christ this Sunday morning, the 5th of October, 2008. And you're hearing Singing from the Heart. And the next song, you're going to hear sung from the heart as well. And the title of this song, There's a Great Day Coming. Now, I'll tell you, it's a coming. It's here.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment? Shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
I think a few of you are ready. I don't know about the rest of you. Old George ready. I can tell that. Don't know if his voice came through or not. How old is George?
Six.
Ready at age six. Hallelujah. We got another one for you. Title of this one is Circuit Riding Preacher. We can thank our good song, great songwriter, Stephen Spaulding, for this one.
Yay.
He was kind enough to let us use this. He wrote this song, did a mighty good job. Thank you, Stephen.
Yay.
A Bible in his saddlebag, a prayer upon his lips. He rode along in his dusty trail upon his endless trips. He brought the words of Jesus Christ and met the gospel call. The circuit riding preacher, a Western messenger of all.
Yeah.
A circuit riding preacher who rode the Western plank, who spread the gospel message through hell and wind. And rain. He led it for a funeral, a wedding, a wagon train, perhaps an old camp meeting, or some cowboys on the range. Voice out in the wilderness with faith that's straight and true. A cowboy's John the Baptist, a servant through and through. With black frock coat and battered hat, he rides seeking those in need. The faithful circuit rider, a long gone vanished breed. Spread the gospel message through hail, wind, and rain. Headed for a funeral, a wedding, or a wagon train. Perhaps an old camp meeting, or some cowboys on the range. A circuit riding preacher who rode the Western Plains, who spread the gospel message through hail, wind, and rain. Oh, headed for a funeral, a wedding, or a wagon train. Perhaps an old camp meeting, or some cowboys on the range. Perhaps an old camp meeting, or some cowboys on the range.
On the
yet to do. There's a lot of sermons yet to preach. There's a lot of souls yet to save. There's so many yet to reach. There's so many who have strayed. So ride, ride, ride on down the range. So true. So much talent to be able to write a song. Every once in a while, this preacher might be able to write a few lyrics. But to have the talent to write a song and the lyrics like that, It's quite remarkable, really. Thank you, Stephen Spaulding, for that great song, giving us an opportunity to sing it. Got another good song? You're singing good out there. I hope some of you out there are singing anyway. Some of you just sitting there waiting for the sermon. The Lord wants to hear you sing. So you sing the next song with us, won't you? Coming up. Title of this song, Were You There? It's a song before communion this morning.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Tells us there were those there at the cruel cross, there at the cold stone grave, there trembling at the sacrifice made for our sins that day. Now go tell of the empty tomb, and that we now have a cause to glory, for he rose from the grave on the third day. This communion talk that I have is just something that I prayed the Spirit would lead. We're living in a time when we need to remember that, I already have mine, that God did not spare his only begotten Son, so how will he not freely give us all things? There are times in your life you're going to have to fight the fight of faith. And one thing I found out is that you can't fight the fight of faith for someone. You can help someone to fight the fight if they want help. But we all have our fights from time to time. And sometimes you might find yourself in a spot where you just can't hardly go on. Maybe you're snake bitten in so many ways, your heart's a hurting. You're fighting bitterness. Maybe you're fighting exhaustion. Maybe you're fighting pain or some kind of creeping insidious affliction of health some way or another creeping in. And I just feel Spirit-led to tell you that when Jesus talked about Moses taking a serpent and putting it on a staff and lifting it up, he referred to himself that he was going to be lifted up. In the book of Numbers, you will read, if you look it up, there was a time when the Israelites became snake bitten. And my, my, just as Jeremiah said, the Lord said through him anyway, I will send snakes and they will bite you. Sometimes you get snake bitten. And I'll tell you, it hurts. And it can make you sick. It can cause you even to despair, want to live, tell you the truth. And when you get down to that spot, I was thinking that I need to tell you that you need to do what the Israelites of old were told to do. Now, God told Moses, he said, you go out there and you make a bronze staff and put a serpent on it. And you tell those sheep of mine that if they will just simply pull the wool up over their eyes and take a peek, if they have to, just crawl out of the tent, but just get them up there some way, just get them to look, they'll be healed. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of Israelites who wouldn't even do it. Israelites don't do things that are that simple and clear. It's got to be complex. You can't be that simple. Well, then die. A lot of you are going to die because you just wouldn't do what God said to do, the simple things to do, such as baptism, such as communion, such as fight the fight of faith. And there are times the Lord will always give you enough energy, if nothing else, you can lay there and you visualize the cross and you see the King who was lifted up like that bronze serpent. And you say, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Oh, that's too simple. Well, and because it is, so many people simply won't do it. Now, I don't know how they were healed out there in that wilderness. I don't know that they suddenly took a look and went, whew, I'm healed. Or maybe it was a slow, gradual process. You still go back into the tent, lay them down, there's a high fever. All right. Did you take a look? Did look. You feel any better? Not a lot. You'll be all right, though. You looked. And you stand on that. You don't stand on the way you feel. You stand on the truth of the word. You see what I'm saying? And pretty soon, you'll feel better. Oh, Jesus said, when I return. I said this on one of our broadcasts this week. I said, I got good news for you, and I got bad news for you. The good news is there is something that will stop the kingdom of Satan, which they like to call the new world order. It's called faith. The bad news is there's very little. And Jesus said, when I return, will I find any? Will I find faith? Oh, may he find it with you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I want you to hear this, that in communion, there is healing. I want to emphasize that. There's healing of broken hearts. There's healings of messed up minds. Some of you have gotten yourself so messed up in your mind, it's really quite sad. Now, if you're going to lay there and wallow in this scenario, well, just Jesus comes, you might not want him to come so very fast, because he wants you to fight. He wants you to fight back Satan. And sometimes Satan will start putting these thoughts in your mind. Well, you did this, you did that. And you just have to get out of here, Satan, because anything I did that's wrong is covered. Because I've asked for forgiveness. Now go. And you'll find that the Word of God is true. He'll have to flee. If you resist him firm in your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Now, I believe that one of the reasons that the Lord has communion, there's so much in communion, so much more than we really realize. But one of the reasons of communion is to help you along in that fight of faith. A little nourishment, and you come back to the cross, and you look at that cross. He was lifted up. And you know that when you take this bread that represents his body, you eat his body. And you recognize, you discern, you judge that that body took your afflictions. In fact, I want some of you out there and you're suffering something somewhere. Maybe it's a broken heart. Maybe it's a messed up mental mind. Whatever. Maybe it's an ache or pain. But you think as you hold this, there's healing. Just like the Canaanite woman knew that if she could just get a few crumbs of the bread, it would be enough to heal. Well, the Lord has given his body for us. And there's healing in it. And you judge it that way. Another thing I feel Spirit-led to say, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10, 29. Anyway, it says, not to forsake the assembling together. So much more as you, even as you see the day near. I marvel. The day and age that we're in, people take it so lightly. Oh, I don't think I'll make it. It's your choice. I can't fight the fight for you. It's your choice. But I want you to know something, what an insult it is to. You're invited to the king's table. Oh, I can't make it this time. Maybe next time. I didn't write it. It said not to forsake. Even more as you see the day drawing nigh. And one of the reasons we sang that song, there's a great day coming. Because there is. This is the day we come together to partake of communion. I've already prayed over this loaf and the loaves that you people have out there. Blessings for the saints. The full spectrum of the blessings, including health benefits from taking. And for those that are the serpents that would dare to try to partake with this, I haven't prayed such blessings. And I would say you would be best not even partake of it. If you're deceitfully like one of those that Jude talks of, that's like a hidden reef in your love feasts, those that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't take it lightly when you take it, but take it every first day of the week. Our Father in heaven, we now pray again, I do, over this loaf. I pray.
And let's go to our Heavenly Father. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this, and we thank you for the price that was paid to give us freedom of our sins, to give us this communion. And as we partake, we recognize that we eat of the body of Christ and we drink of your blood. And we ask, Father, to do this. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. You may partake. And I wanted to close out with a scripture, Matthew 5. It says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lamp gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Scripture, and we're going to close out with a song. Thank you, and God bless.